the popular unity. The triumph of the 4th of September and the consequent broadening of the program unleashed a revolutionary process which placed the classes in a situation of historic tension, revolution or counter-revolution. It was not the actions carried out by the popular government, or the program itself, which the ruling classes were afraid of, but the revolutionary dynamic of the masses which objectively placed in jeopardy the capitalist system. Above all, they feared the working class leadership of the process, expressed by the predominance of socialists and communists in the government, in the popular unity, and in the mass movement. Nevertheless, it was this latter subjective element, the leadership factor, which did not know how to respond to the new reality brought about by the march of the revolution, a reality which overstepped the bounds of the objective set forth by the popular unity in 1969. Chilean Socialism, page 85. The popular unity coalition included not only the CP and SP, but a whole series of small petty bourgeois parties and grupplets, MAPU, API, PSD and radicals, with a very sparse base amongst the masses. The Radical Party, in the moment of its entry into the coalition, was undoubtedly a bourgeois party, which later split under the pressure of the masses. As opposed to the Popular Front of the 1930s, in which the old Radical Party was the majority force, the radicals of Alberto Bultra were a sect, while the workers' parties, the SP and CP, were the dominant forces. Nevertheless, the Stalinist leaders had a vested interest in the presence of the radicals in the government, not because of their electoral importance, but as an excuse for not carrying out a socialist program. We cannot go too fast, because that could mean the breakup of the coalition. The same tactic has been used by the CP and SP leaders in France, also with a minuscule radical party. Against the popular unity, stood the two parties of the bourgeoisie, the National Party of Alessandri, the open representatives of the oligarchy, and the Christian Democracy, represented by Tarmac, who, in a desperate attempt to try to recover the image of a left-wing party, advocated the total nationalization of the copper industry and the foreign banks and the speeding up of the agrarian reform. But this time the masses were not to be deceived by the fake promises of the Christian Democrats. The results of the elections were as follows: Zeland 1,075,616, 36.3%, Alessandri 1,036,278, 34.9%, Tarmac 824,849, 27.8%. The abysmal collapse of the Christian Democratic vote clearly shows a process of class polarization in Chilean society. In fact, the Christian Democrats had already lost their absolute majority in the elections in the Lower House Congress in March 1969. Out of a total of 150 seats in the Congress and 50 in the Senate, there were the following results. The results of the 1965 elections are given, in brackets Congress-Senate percent of votes: Christian Democracy 55.82, 23.13, 31.1. National Party 34.12.58, 20.9, Communist Party 22.18.93, 16.6, Radicals 24.20.610, 13.9, Socialist Party 15.15.57, 14.4, Other Left Groups 2.4. The results of the 1970 elections meant that the popular unity had won, but it did not have an absolute majority. This argument was used by the right in order to impose conditions on Allende, before allowing the formation of the government. The leaders of the popular unity had two alternatives: either reject the blackmail of the bourgeoisie, and make an appeal to the masses, denouncing the dirty maneuvers to impede the people's will, organizing massive demonstrations all over the country, or give in to the pressures, and accept the imposed conditions. Many socialist militants were indignant at these maneuvers of the bourgeoisie. And undoubtedly, the indignation of the masses would have been greater still, had the popular unity leaders organized a campaign of mobilizations and explanation. Already in June 1970, the cut were threatening a general strike. In those moments, the working class had become the decisive majority of society. 75% of the active population were wage earners, fundamentally in the towns in industry and services, and less than 25% of the active population was dedicated to agriculture. The power of the workers' movement in Chile had already been demonstrated in the wave of strikes under the Ibanez and Alessandri governments. The workers knew that the election campaign had been characterized by all kinds of trickery and dirty maneuvers against the popular unity, staged by imperialism and the oligarchy. The attempt to block Allen's entry into the government would have been the signal for an unprecedented movement, which would have had a radicalizing effect in every town and village in the land. Moreover, for a Marxist, although election results have a great importance as a barometer of the degree of consciousness of the masses, they can never be the only factor, or even the determining factor in our strategy. Marxists are not anarchists. For that reason, we participate in elections, and are willing to use all the mechanisms of bourgeois democracy, and even attempt to change society by peaceful means, through parliamentary legislation, in the degree to which it is permitted us to do so. Nevertheless, the whole of history, and above all the history of Chile, shows that the ruling class is prepared to tolerate the existence of democracy only within certain clearly demarcated limits. In the moment when the bourgeoisie sees its power and privilege threatened, it does not hesitate to break unilaterally with the rules of the game, rules established by them in defense of the power and privileges, and destroy the democratic conquests of the working class. No, we Marxists are not anarchists. But we are realists, and have learned from history. In this respect, Comrade Sepulveda is absolutely right when he states that on the question of power, it is not a question of the numerical correlation of forces, of having a majority. For example, if in March 1973, we had obtained 51% or 55%, would that have meant that imperialism and the big bourgeoisie would have ceased to prepare the coup, would not have continued to develop the forces to overthrow us? At least, historical experience shows that, even when in a minority, the reaction defends the class predominance by violent means. Socialist Mocellino, p. 36. Many socialist comrades, and probably communists as well, foresaw the trap that the bourgeoisie was preparing with its famous conditions. The main protagonist of this maneuver was, of course, the Christian democracy, which once again revealed its real nature as the most cunning defenders of the interests of its masters, the big capitalist, bankers, and US imperialism. Under the insistent pressure of Corvalan and Co., Allen reached agreement with a Christian democracy, and accepted the so-called Constitutional Guarantees Pact, which formed private militias or the nomination of officers in the armed forces, who had not been to military academy. On the other hand, no changes were to be made in the army, navy, air force or police force, except with the approval of the Congress, where the bourgeois parties still had a majority. In this way, Allen and the other leaders of the popular unity fell into trap from the very first, forgetting the fundamental principles of Marxism, and the words of the founding program of Chilean socialism: evolutionary transformation by means of the democratic system is not possible, because the ruling class has organized itself in armed civil bodies, and has erected its own dictatorship, to maintain the workers in poverty and ignorance and prevent their emancipation.